First Corinthians, chapter 13, beginning in verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God and the opportunity, again, I say this morning to you, the opportunity that you've given us to be here this morning. Thank you for the health and the ability to be here. Help us not waste it. Help us to be thankful enough to hear what our pastor will preach to us today so it'll make us better, a better Christian, a better child of yours. And Father, if there's someone here this morning that does not know Christ as their Savior, they're not a child of yours, I pray before they leave this room, they would trust you for forgiveness of their sins. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated again, would you make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate? During Sunday school this morning in my class, a couple of phones did go off, and ushers drug those folks outside and beat them soundly. And so we'd really prefer not to do that this morning. And so help us there and just make sure that it is turned off or to vibrate. We would appreciate it tremendously. For now we see through a glass darkly. Do you see that in verse number 12? This letter to the church in the city of Corinth, in that city at that time, one of the things they had that was a specialty in that city was mirrors. Now, the mirrors we use today are not the mirrors of that day. The mirrors of that day were, the quality ones were made from brass. And then they would take the brass and they would polish it until it produced a good reflection. But every mirror that was always sold with a sponge and a little bit of pumice stone on it. Because as you know, brass tarnishes after a period of time. And then it would just not give quite a good reflection, and so it would have to be polished again so it would reproduce the proper reflection. So when God's writing to these church, these people in Corinth, and he says, for now we see through a glass darkly. Well, they knew what that meant. It meant the tarnished brass of their mirrors prevented them from seeing a proper reflection. For now we see through a glass darkly, but now he's not talking about mirrors. He's talking about how that in this life we go through those glass darkly times where we just don't see things as clearly. For now we see through a glass darkly, he says, but then face to face, then shall I know even as also I am known. He's talking about a time, ladies and gentlemen, that if we can get through those glass darkly days in our life, there will come a time when you will see and understand things more clearly. We do understand that, right? What do we see through the glass darkly now? Well, we see the questions of this life. You got some things you just don't seem to find the answers for. Questions of the whys of life. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? What is this all about? For my wife and I this week, it was something kind of simple. It wasn't inexpensive, but it was simple. One of the exhaust fans in the bathroom started just acting up and then just made noise but didn't do anything. So I thought, okay, well, clean it. So I pulled the cover off of it. I got the vacuum cleaner, pulled it up on the chair, pulled the hose out, put the attachment on it, started vacuuming the fan. While I'm vacuuming the fan, I smelled something, and I looked down, and the vacuum cleaner was smoking. That's not good. And it was a smoke from the vacuum cleaner I'd never seen before. Belts will burn up. That wasn't a belt. It was a motor. And there it went. You know, we only had that vacuum cleaner for 15 years. I just don't understand why they don't make things to last anymore. I thought, great. And then the ceiling fan's broke. I thought, now I got to replace the ceiling fan and a vacuum cleaner. Good. Later that day, I was in the bathroom washing my hands. I look up and the fixture over the mirror was kind of looking funny. I thought, what is wrong with that thing? And I pushed on it and it fell off the wall. And I thought, well, what idiot put, oh, I did that. Oh, yeah, that's right. And I looked at the other fixture and it was hanging off the wall. And I thought, are we running hippos through the bathroom? What's happening with the fixtures falling off the walls? The fan goes, the vacuum cleaner goes. And I was going to actually take my wife and go play a little golf on Friday. And you know what we did? We bought a vacuum cleaner. Have you bought a vacuum cleaner lately? Those things are not cheap. You don't just walk in and buy a vacuum cleaner. Now, the salesman's got to explain it to you like you're buying a BMW or something. An hour and a half, 2 hours later, we have a vacuum cleaner. And then we go out, and then I got to replace the fan and then put the lights back up over the mirror in the bathroom. Now, that's just a little why. All I did was turn to my wife and say, what are you doing? God's judging us. Have you been doing something? What's going on here? She just looked at me, and I go, okay, it's my fault. But the truth of the matter is, that's a little why in life. Well, there's some bigger ones, aren't there? Sure are. There's some whys in my life. Please remember, that's not wrong to ask God why. We've covered all that before. It's wrong to demand an answer. But it's wise to ask why. Just ask it with the right spirit and have an expectation that when God's good time comes, he'll answer the question. But then, glass darkly now, but then. There's questions about this life, the whys of life, the when of life. When is this going to take place? When is this going to happen in my life? When is this going to be? When is this? When is that? Or the where? Where is this coming from? Why is this? Where is this in my life? And where is this ever? Those kind of questions in our life, those are glass darkly moments where we, if we're wise now, we wait on God and we understand in his good time, he'll answer some of our questions. Now, we know one day Jesus told the disciples, he said, in that day, talking about the day when they all stood before the Lord and were face to face with God, he said, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. I'm telling you, there are people who honestly believe that when the day comes and they get to heaven, they're going to walk around heaven forever asking God the whys of this life. Notice it does not say, but then face to face he'll answer all your questions. He just said, then face to face, then shall we know. When that day comes, my dear friend, and you are a child of God, and that day comes and you break through the blue and you go to heaven, there's something about just being in heaven that's going to answer a lot of the questions, resolve a lot of the issues. And as I've often reminded you before, when you get to heaven, you're not really going to care about what happened in this life anyway, because it's over with and we're done. But now, well, there's the whys of life. We have questions not only about our own personal lives, but what happens to people that we love and we care for. Why do things happen? Why is it, you know, you hear this statement, why is it good people have hard times in their life? That's a dumb question. Good people have always had hard times. That's just a part of life. It comes to everybody in our lives. But why? But the why this and the why that and why all those sorts of things? Sometimes I think God must think of us like little 5-6-year-old children who always ask him why. Why does the sun shine? Why does the bird sing? Why does the wind blow? Why is this? Why is that? Sometimes I think God looks at us and thinks, why do we have to keep asking why all the time? But I've got some glass darklies in my life about questions in this life. I wouldn't really mind getting an answer to now and then. Some things I've found that if you wait a while, answers do come. Sometimes I find answers do not come because God wants us just to trust and wait and believe that his silence is still an answer. It's still good. For now, we see through a glass darkly the questions of this life. For now, we see through a glass darkly. Then there's the questions about what awaits us in the next life. Now, we know, fortunately, with the Bible, we have a pretty good idea, don't we? We know that absent from the body means present with the Lord. The moment we draw our last breath in this life as a child of God, you draw your next breath in heaven in the presence of God. And that quick, too. It's no transfer of things. There's no waiting. There's no soul sleep. The body doesn't go to the grave. And the Christian goes to the grave. No. The body goes to the grave, but not you. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Luke chapter 16, rich man and Lazarus. Two men who lived and they died on the very same day. And the very moment that they died, the Bible even says, and the rich man, when he died, in hell he lifted up his eyes in torments. That's not a grave, that was a place. A literal place. The moment he died, he woke up in hell. And the moment Lazarus, the beggar, died, the moment he died, he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And he's there in the paradise of God today. Instantly, momentarily, in the instant, the very second of it. Most sacred, holy moments of my life have been standing beside the bed of a saint of God and watched them draw their last breath and step from this life to the next. You can almost sense the presence of the angels in the room. They've come to usher somebody home, just like that. Well, we know that now. We know that the moment you die, you leave this life and you immediately enter eternity. And immediately you're either in heaven or you're in hell. You're in one place or the other. So that we don't have to wonder about. That's not a glass darkly. That's very clear. We know that there are two heavens. There's the heaven that is and the heaven that will be. The heaven that is now is the paradise of God, where all the saints of God have gone through all these centuries, and that's where they are. Now, we don't know a lot about that heaven, but we know it's there, and the Bible says it's so. Then there's the new heaven, that city four square that Jesus has been preparing for over 2,000 years now. Oh, yes. Now, that's the eternal dwelling place of the saved, and we go there. We know that hell is exactly what the Bible describes it as. Jesus preached 14 sermons on life after death. 13 of them were about hell, a literal place called hell. So there's no glass darkly about what happens to someone when they die. They either go to heaven and they go to hell. There is no purgatory. That's the invention of a Catholic church to create money to build buildings and build facilities. There is no purgatory. There is heaven, there is hell. That's all there is. There is a great gulf fixed between heaven and hell, Abraham said. You can't come over here and we cannot go over there. You're in heaven or in hell as soon as the moment you die. Now, that's clear. So we have a clear understanding about that, which also clarifies this business of life after death. You don't even have to answer that question. There is life after death. So what's the glass darkly about the next life? Well, we don't really know a lot about what happens in heaven. We know in the new heaven, his servants shall serve him, and there's the shall be's of Revelation 22, that stuff. We know that, but exactly how does that work, this play, this thing of eternity, work out? See, in our finite minds, we can't get that. Someone mentioned to me this morning, he said, well, Pastor, last week you said, and I thought, I don't remember what I said last week. Been a lot of water under that bridge since last Sunday. I don't remember what I said last week. Matter of fact, I don't think I can remember what I preached last Sunday. Preached 10, 12 times between last Sunday and this Sunday. So there have been a few things that have happened since then. So I don't remember a lot of what happened last week. So my idea of eternity, I can't grasp that concept. I just can't get it. I can't get the idea of time no more. And then this great reunion with our loved ones and all the saints of God that gone on before us. I know it takes place, but there's a lot of things about this next life that's a glass darkly to me. I believe one of the reasons God didn't give us all the details and information now is because you got all eternity to figure it out. And all that it encompasses. And the eternity of suffering forever in hell. Jesus preached more about that than he did about heaven because he wanted people to not go there. So he sounded the warning. We know it's a place of darkness. We know it's a place of suffering. We know it's a place that's dark yet has fire in it. We're very clear about what the Bible says about this place called hell. But how exactly does all that work? There's a lot I don't know. See, there's a lot about the next life I don't know. What do we do that takes us forever to do? Some of you are thinking, I can't wait till I retire. Then you tell me I go to heaven, I'm going to work all the time that I'm in heaven. No, you're going to serve him in heaven. By the way, if you enjoy serving him now, you'll enjoy serving him later. That's a reward when it says his servants shall serve him. It's a reward of somebody who likes to serve God that you get to go to heaven. You get to serve God forever in a place. Hey, this time no limitations of body, soul, mind, schedule, life, Nothing. There's nothing to hinder us from just going ahead and doing what God wants us to do. I noticed it this week. Three times this week I woke up in the morning and I did not know what day it was. I had to lay there for a while and think about it. What is today? And then I know the date today. I'm here. I'm good. I'm okay with it. I got a calendar watch, but I didn't have that in the morning. I got that. Thank you, though. I appreciate you dialing me in on that sort of thing. I know it's Sunday. I know that. When I was in Bible college, working full-time and going to school full-time, you get tired. I remember going to bed, and you usually get about 3 or 4 hours of sleep at best. And I remember going to bed one day, and I was so tired. And I laid down, I went to sleep. And I woke up, and I thought, wow, I'm so rested. I got a really good rest. This is fantastic. And I got up, I got my shower, I got all dressed, I got ready for my day. I'd been in bed for 45 minutes. And I was wide awake and dressed and ready to go. No more time. No more these. None of this watch stuff. I don't know how that works, though. Now, we see through a glass darkly. When we step across to the other side and we enter to eternity, there are a lot of things that are just going to be resolved by that. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. You realize, dear friend, you're going to actually look at Jesus Christ and see him. He's not going to be looking like those hippie pictures that those Catholic artists drew of him. That's not what he's going to look like. He didn't look like that then. He doesn't look like that now. So don't go around heaven looking for a guy in a white robe that goes one of these numbers that looks like he needs a haircut and a bath. Okay, that's not him. That's not what he looked. Revelation chapter 1 tells us he's got white hair, and white hair is a godly thing. So I understand that. White. Yours is bald, so just knock it off. Yours is tan. It's like watching a train wreck, brother. You know, I'm trying not to pick on you this morning, and you kicked it off, but that's all right. No, that's okay. I'm not going to say anymore. We'll just leave it go at that. But I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. A great verse for nurseries. We shall all, but it also means this. There's a lot about it we just don't know. Well, wouldn't you like to know, Pastor Johnson? I would, but he hasn't decided to not tell us. So then face to face, we'll get it. Now, I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. So this thing about seeing glass darkly, about questions in this life, questions about the next life. So then we see through a glass darkly about something else, about how things are going to turn out in this life here. Now, how is it all going to go? How will it be? The Bible talks in the Old Testament about how he'll give us an expected end. Do you realize, dear friend, look at me. Do you realize that God has the ability to see past, present, and future in one glance, and he already knows what your future is? Now, we don't see that. That's good. We don't know that, and that's also good. I don't want to know the future. I really don't. I'm often wondering about these people who are fooled by psychics. How come psychics never win the lottery? I mean, if they're that good, how come they never win the lottery? It's some little grandma in Texas that gets $482 million and more relatives than she knows what to do with now. I don't want to know the future because he does. Oh, I see through the glass darkly now. My life, I look ahead and I think to myself, but what's going to be 10 years from now, 20? What about down the road for Mike Johnson? But bigger than that, how about my family? What is going to be for my family? See, it's a glass darkly thing, isn't it? How about our church? Shasta Baptist Church, will we be here 20 years from now? Will God still allow us to continue as a church? I wonder sometimes about this glass darkly about America. Our beloved nation, America. I wonder how much longer can we go the direction we are headed and God not intervene and stop us like he did Sodom and Gomorrah, like he did all the great empires of this world that ever turned their back on God and defied him. Someone once said years ago, if God doesn't do something to America for the sin of this nation and the way we condone wickedness, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. How? And my great fear for the future of this nation is for my grandchildren. I wonder, I fear for their lives, what it means for, are my grandchildren going to have to pay with their life for the faith that I did not hold faithfully enough and make a difference in this country? We see through a glass darkly. How are things going to turn out in this life? See, here's the wonderful thing. But then, the Bible says, in other words, the day will come when you'll begin to see things more clearly. You know, it's amazing how the longer that we live in life, the more clear the path of our life becomes to us. The more we realize, you know what, if I look back enough to see with wisdom what has happened in my life, I can look ahead and see where I'm headed. And now I know this. I know that the longer I live, the more simple life becomes if I just follow the Word of God. If I just take the Bible like a lamp to my feet and a light to my path and let it illuminate my next step, I know this. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know today I need to do what the Bible tells me to do today. Today I need to cling to the faith of my fathers. Today I need to do what the Word of God instructs me to do. Today I need to live according to the Bible. Today I need to get Mike Johnson in the will of God, keep Mike Johnson in the will of God, and Mike Johnson do God's will for his life, and God will take care of what goes on down the road. See, that's a glass darkly for me, but not him. He's just waiting for me to take the next step I'm supposed to take. That's all. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, the Bible says, and he delighteth in his way. You'll come to enjoy the life God has for you if you'll let the steps he's ordered for you be your next step. So I don't know. I don't know what will be in 10, 15, 20 years from now. Frankly, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know what I need to do today. And I just need to live my life face to face with my Savior, living for Him, living to please Him, living to do what honors Him with my life. And stop living this selfish Mike Johnson life and start living the Jesus Christ life, living for Him. And then he puts all the pieces together. You say, well, just you do that, and look what happens. Your ceiling fan goes out, and your vacuum cleaner burns up, and fixtures fall off the wall. Nothing that couldn't be fixed. I mean, folks, look, as far as I know, when I left the house, it didn't blow over. As far as I know, look at me, as far as I know, the God who took care of me up to this point, that grace that safely brought me thus far will safely lead me home. So, yeah, there's some things there that I don't see. So what do we need to do? We need to clear up some of those glass darklies by just simple faith and trusting the Lord, just doing what He wants me to do. But, see, that life's too complicated, Pastor Johnson. No, life is complicated because you won't do what the Bible tells you to do. You think it has to be your way to be right, and God's trying to show you do it His way, and it'll be right. And He'll clear up those glass darkly moments down the road. You'll look back on it and say, oh, I see. I see now. The way God led me, Jesus led me all the way. For now we see through a glass darkly. Do you have enough faith to trust Him to bring answers when the time is right? For now we see through a glass darkly. The next life shouldn't hold any fear for the child of God. Are you a child of God this morning? Do you know that you know Christ as your personal Savior? And are you 100% sure your eternity is based on the sacrifice of Jesus' death on the cross and His resurrection? That your hope for salvation is trusting Jesus Christ to be your Savior? That you've made that decision in your life, a distinct and definite decision to accept Him? Then eternity is set and settled for you. And I don't have to wonder how it's going to be. I know how God is going to take care of it. I'm His child. He's going to watch out for me, just like He's going to watch out for you. And for how things will turn out in this life, I don't know. I really don't know. Except to know this. The Bible that brought me safe thus far will safely lead me home. I just got to follow the Word of God and let it be my compass, my guide, my GPS, the light that leads me, the path that directs me, and everything else. It's all very simple this morning. So all these glass darkly questions and doubts we have in our lives, it says, but then face to face. I just keep my face in His. I look at my Savior. I follow Him. I do what He wants me to do. I run my race that's set before me, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God on high. And I know that He will take care of all these matters. We teach our children to trust us. And then we live our lives to continue to earn that trust and be faithful with it. Yes? Our Heavenly Father has never failed us. Never. He's never disappointed a child of God. Never. We've become disappointed because we didn't trust Him, but He has never failed us yet and never left us, so this glass darkly moments can all be cleared up just face to face. Are you right with the Lord this morning, friend? Do you know that everything is all right between you and the God of heaven? And are you sure of that? Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning, would you?